I share this real quickly, guys. Peter says we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doesn't he say that as believers? How do you grow in grace? I'll put this to you. With all my heart, I believe is that when we see what wretched, miserable dirtbags we are, how else can you understand grace? So undeserving. The woman that came to Jesus and cleaned his feet with her tears and wiped them off with her hair, you know, Jesus said, who much is forgiven loves much. Isn't that what he said? That's the principle. As we grow in God's grace and understanding of how much he's given us that we don't deserve, we can't help but love him. And if we love him, John said, the apostle said, then we've got to love our brothers. Love those around us too. The Thessalonians understood this. In the midst of great persecution, they didn't buy the name it, claim it gospel, because they would have had their faith shipwrecked. Because that kind of teaching leaves you in a place that says, well, God must not love me. Why is this happening to me? I must be in something, or, you know, whatever it is, it shipwrecks faith. But to understand the love of God, to understand we're living in a fallen world, to understand by receiving Christ into hearts does not exempt us from trials and suffering and pain, but indeed either refines us and purifies us to be more like him. Or he says, for those of us that suffer, it also means that we're going to get rewards and glory, to be counted worthy of the sufferings of Christ. And so it's not a popular saying, teaching. It's not one that grows churches into mega churches. It doesn't fit the seeker-friendly mold, if you will, but it's the facts. It's the facts. It's what the Bible teaches, guys. And so Paul is sharing this with him. Guys, you're not in the judgment of God. Yeah, I know you're going through it, but because your patience and faith, and you're loving one another and reaching out, and you're such a great example. I just want you to know, man, be comforted. Don't buy into this false teaching and stuff. Hang in there, guys. And he says, look, these things that you're enduring is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom. It was interesting, in the book of Acts, one of the things about rejoicing we said last week was when the disciples had been put in prison and beaten, they came out rejoicing, they said, that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Rejoicing. Rejoice always is what the scriptures say. And so there was a rejoicing into being counted worthy, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Wow. Guys, you know, this is going to get heavy here. It's going to get heavy with this lesson today, because I'm going to share with you what's in store for those that reject the love of God, that do not desire to live with him, that don't want him in their life. He's going to let people have what they want, but it's not pretty. And we're going to get to that a little bit here before we end the service. It says this in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And interesting that, you know, God always gives an antidote for the problems. And, yeah, you're new to the church, huh? Oh, that's okay. Listen, I got to tell you this.
I never bring myself into church.
Let me check, make sure it might be God. Would you answer it? It might be God. I don't know. That's all right. You just gave me I'm telling you guys. That's all right. I was on the West Coast at a pastor's conference there in Costa Mesa, and there's about 1,000, I guess, pastors sitting in there listening to Pastor Chuck. He was making a real serious point, you know, and everyone's just silence. She could hear a pin drop. And all of a sudden, somebody's cell phone went off.
The wrath of God, man, it came. No, he just simply said, "You're not that important." This guy, he was looking for some piece of carpet to crawl under, but of course Chuck had pulled it up because of the hippies bringing the sand in or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, I tried that. One of the college students, a freshman, came into church one Sunday and her phone went off, and I said, "You're not that important." All I said to her, I never saw her again. She never came back to our church. I could tell that you're a dirtbag like me, and you know it. So, yeah. God says if we go through trials and suffer and have pain in this life, if we're Christians, there'll be a compensation for that. There'll be an eternal reward. There'll be a glorying in Christ in the day that we're glorified. He's righteous and just in everything that happens. We'll flip over there now in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's just a good point to understand. Josh's songs that he picked just was so good. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, full of anger. Or full of anger, slow to anger. Deuteronomy. we're gonna dig in just a little bit of the old wine here, and boy, I'm already 10 o'clock. This is terrible.
Keep going, you're doing good.
Okay. Well, I've got another service coming up, so anyway. Verse 19 of it's a song of Moses, Deuteronomy 30:19, I believe it is. No, it's a statement. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God, you know, God just, he's so cool. He's a gentleman. He gives us choice in his life. You can choose him or choose not to be with him. And he gives us permission in that. But those that choose not, it's not going to be pretty as we're starting to get to. And that wasn't even the verse I wanted to read. But it works. Yeah, most of them do. I hadn't found one that didn't work yet, but, you know, it wasn't the one I had made. Anyway, the point being that I wanted to make, well, God's righteous. He's just. Every judgment, everything that comes down on the planet is perfect. And we don't see that right in the here and now. Well, it's because we're myopic, like Paul said. We're short-sighted. We don't see the big picture. But God's promised that everything worketh for the good for those in Christ Jesus that are called according to his purpose. We just can't see the end result of what he's doing. But see, these Thessalonians, he was boasting about them because they had the endurance and the patience and they held on to the faith. And they were a great example that, you know, when we go up and be before the Lord, the things we walk through in life and the trials we experience and the hurts we had, we're going to go, "Holy, perfect, God. Wow. I would have never known you the way I do. I've never been the person I am if I hadn't gone through that. I couldn't see it all my life. I was angry at you for that. I didn't think you really loved me. I thought you were punishing me. And now I see it was just love, pure love, righteous, perfect in everything you do and even in my life." And I promise you, we're all going to say that one day. Why not understand it now? That's what abundant life is. It's what Jesus promised to give us, that we could walk in that now. Our past is covered as far as the east is from the west. Our future is one of blessed hope. It's just the moment right now that we get hung up with, isn't it? But these are simple things to understand that will make our walk daily abundant in him. And so,